We're so glad you've tuned in to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Doctor, today we will be talking about the institution of marriage, which, as many of our listeners know, is under such attack today.
Luann, I have never seen a time quite like this in my life. And I've been working on family issues and marital issues for 40 years. But there is just a massive campaign underway in this country to redefine marriage. Mm-hmm. Some people flat out want to destroy marriage. After 5,000 years of history have come and gone, every generation has been built on the foundation of this institution, which was given by God to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And everything of value sits on that base. Mm-hmm. And if we destroy it, now we're going to threaten the entire superstructure that sits on that foundation. And yet there are people that want dramatically to redefine and allow same-sex couples to marry and to change marriage into something that was never intended to be. And that concerns me maybe as much as anything else in my life.
Well, Dad, one of the arguments you frequently hear from proponents of the same-sex marriage ideology is that those who are fighting for traditional marriage don't really have a leg to stand on because of the horrendous divorce rates we have here in America.
Well, we do hear that one in every two marriages does end in divorce, Doctor. We hear that stat a lot.
Well, not to mention the steady decline in those choosing to marry in the first place. So in addition to the terribly high divorce rate, there is the fact that many people are just living together without bothering to get married. It is a travesty that we, meaning Christians primarily, have allowed this precious institution to fall into a state of disrepair. And it's been my life work to help couples make marriage work, if nothing else, for the sake of the children. And we're joined today in the studio by a man who has worked tirelessly to protect marriage over the preceding years. I think, Mike, you said 31 years you've been working on the preservation of marriage. Mike McManus is who I'm talking to. He's the co-founder of Marriage Savers. That organization, which he started with his wife in 1996, seeks to equip mentor couples and clergy members around the country to strengthen the marriages of their church members. He's written a number of books, including a title that we're going to talk a little bit about today called Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. Mike, do you remember where we met?
We met at a conference that you were a part of, the Pornography Commission.
That's right.
And you were trying to get the laws changed to encourage prosecution of people who were producing pornography. And I had written a column on preparing for adolescence, which I had just taken my son Adam on when he was 15 at that time. And it was such a wonderful experience for both of us. I came up and introduced myself to you, and you were very gracious.
Well, you were very gracious. In fact, I had read your column. It was all over the country at that time.
Right.
It had two forms to it. Explain them.
Well, I was writing actually a political column as well as a religious one.
Right.
And one week I was in church and the pastor preached a sermon. And he said, "What are you doing to serve the Lord? Don't tell me you're an usher. That's insignificant Christian service." Gulp, I was an usher. He said, "What are you doing to take your talent and your experience that makes you unique as a person to serve the Lord?" And I suddenly thought, well, what I'm doing that's unique is I can write a newspaper column that people will read, and I'm willing to call up newspaper editors and sell it to them. So what could I do with that? And I thought, oh, all the boring church pages out there and in America's newspapers that wouldn't motivate anyone even to go to church? I bet I could write a column, put some content on the page. And then I began having second thoughts. Wait a minute, I've never been to the seminary. I've never studied this stuff. I've only just gone to a good church. And I went to my pastor and I said, "Look, would you be willing to co-author this with me?" He said, "I don't have time to do that." I said, "Well, I'll write it, but you can edit it." He said, "Well, Mike, I think you should do it yourself." And but I started with him because I was nervous. I didn't feel, he had a fancy collar on, you know, with a, he was an Episcopal priest.
Well, that reached all the way out to where I was out in California. I was at USC and Children's Hospital at that time. And lo and behold, my name shows up that you wrote about me. And then we had a chance to get acquainted. Yes. We've been working together off and on ever since.
Yes, you had me on your show the first time in 1986. And we just created what I call a community marriage policy in Modesto, California, in which 95 pastors, priests, and one rabbi said, no more quickie weddings. We're going to require 4 to 6 months of marriage preparation. We're going to require them to couples to take an inventory detailed questionnaire on their strengths as a couple and where they need to grow. 150 items on the questionnaire, like sometimes my partner gives me the silent treatment when we get into arguments, or I think my future spouse spends money foolishly at times. And the man and woman would each indicate whether they agree or disagree with that. And those results would come back to a couple we trained to be mentor couples so that they could have a good conversation with this couple. And the result of it was, in Modesto, the divorce rate dropped, has actually dropped 57%. But the marriage rate went up when the U.S. marriage rate was dropping. And so more children were being brought up in intact homes. And the result is teen birth rates dropped 30%. Wow. And school dropouts fell 19% in 10 years. So you can really change a culture if you declare a new day for marriage and an old day for divorce.
It was amazing. I remember at the time, it was just incredible how much more stable that city was for having gone through that program. Right. Well, now, Modesto was not the only city that you carried out this program. It has now gone all across the country.
It has, and in part because you had me on your show. I got requests to go to Fresno and other cities, and we now have them in 229 cities.
Well, maybe there are other requests coming
now.
Well,
I hope so, because this really is an answer. It's something that the churches can do to change the culture. You can't change a state's culture, but you can change a city's culture. And that's an important thing to do. In Austin, Texas, for example, the divorce rate actually has fallen 50%. And because 252 churches, and Catholic and Protestant, signed on, and that's a liberal city, and yet the churches had a major impact on that city's future.
You've come to me. I'm a pastor, and I care about my people, but I haven't talked a lot about marriage, and a lot of pastors don't.
That's true.
And yet it is so critical to the next generation
it
and
is.
To getting the gospel of Jesus Christ across to your children. Not that divorced people can't accomplish that, but it's a whole lot easier where you have an intact family and a mother and father that are working on it. So you've come to me now, and what are you going to tell me? What do you want me to do?
I would suggest you preach a series of sermons between Mother's Day and Father's Day on marriage, every sermon. And one time you can talk about why marriage is important. People who are married are healthier, happier, live longer, have more sex and better sex, actually. I don't know if we can say that on a family program.
Well, you just did.
But the thing that's interesting is that couples who are married live 10 years longer than those who are single for whatever reason. A man will live 10 years longer. A woman will live 4 years longer. Their children will live 5 years longer. Isn't that interesting?
That really is.
Because what you're doing is building confidence and health into that family by having both partners present.
Well, it sounds like security as well.
Security as well.
You said in Modesto that the marriage rate rose. I think that has something to do with people's view about marriage. So many kids' parents go through horrible divorces. They
That's
see
right.
it themselves, and they're so afraid of going through that themselves that if they can see a healthy marriage, well, then that's, well, maybe I will get married.
That's right. But the fact is that less than half of American teenagers are living in homes with their own married parents. The Family Research Council put it this way, 54% of American kids are growing up in homes where the parents have rejected each other. They either never married in the first place or they're divorced. And the consequence of this to the country is calamitous. And my wife and I invented the idea of the mentor couples. I was writing my first book called Marriage Savers back in the 1990s. And I said, Harriet, why don't we go sit in on a premarital class and see what they're doing there, see if we can be of help. And there were a bunch of lectures, you know. A finance guy would get up and talk about finances. You need to save 10% of your money and things like this. And a therapist would get up and say the obvious things about don't let the sun set on your anger, quoting scripture, be angry but don't sin. But this, I said, I don't think this is having much effect. And we sat in the back of the room with three other couples, and I said, do you have any questions about money? We just, after talk on money, nope, they didn't have any questions. So Harriet and I would tell stories, war stories, of dumb things we had done about money. Mm-hmm. And they loved the stories, you know. But then I said, do you have any questions? Nope. So that night I went home and I said, you know, I wrote a column on this thing called Prepare, which is an inventory to give to premarital couples. One, next time we meet with them, ask them if they'd like to come to our home and take that inventory, and we would meet with them separately, privately. Mm. Everyone said yes. So we did that, and they loved it so much that I convinced the pastor to let us train a bunch of other couples in our church to do this work. In the 1990s, we prepared 288 couples for marriage at our church. Of that number, 58 decided not to marry. Wow. Mm. See, most marriage preparation classes don't have maybe but 1% or 2% dropout. This was 20%. But of the 230 couples who married in the 1990s, we've only been able to identify 16 divorces now in two decades. See, that's a 93% success rate. That's virtual marriage insurance.
That's greater than any other study I've seen.
But this is just a small one church now, mind you. Some churches have had a better record than we have. Christ Lutheran Church in Overland Park, Kansas, has prepared over 100 couples for marriage, and the pastor says he doesn't know of one that's gotten divorced. There's another part of the answer that's important to emphasize, and that is that we have in our churches couples and good marriages in every church who could be of help to other couples, but they've never been asked, never been inspired, and never been trained to do it. Now, Jesus in Luke 10:1 sent off the disciples two by two to evangelize. What we're talking about here is sending out couples, two people helping two other people, two by two, but in a new way. In a 21st century way, to create marriage insurance for these couples and their churches. That's an exciting vision, I think.
Let's answer two questions, though, that I can think would come up. Number one, I can't be a mentor couple. I'm not perfect. Or the second one, I can't be a mentor couple because I'm already on my second marriage.
If you're on your second marriage, then you're going to be ideal to help a couple who's coming to us to prepare for marriage who did have a failed marriage.
Mm.
Harriet and I can't work with those couples. We don't understand what that couple went through, and we cannot pretend. We can only work with couples in primary marriages. As for the question that, you know, we don't have a perfect marriage. Well, of course, nobody has a perfect marriage. And the pastor told us you seem to have a very good marriage, and we're not asking you to make a decision tonight as to whether you're going to be a mentor couple. We're asking you to come to the training on 2 weeks from Saturday when we're going to train you. And I think you will have the confidence when you have the training to be able to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to tell you something honestly. When we were doing this in the 1990s in our church, Harriet and I would have to call up 24 couples to get five to come to a training. I mean, it is not easy. This is that's the hardest part of this work. But I think it's a biblical model. You remember Paul's letter to Titus in which he said, have the older women train the younger women on how to love their husbands. And the older men are sort of like role models to the younger men. Paul, in a different letter, said that the job of the pastor is to equip the saints for ministry or equip God's people for service. My question is, what is more important for equipping saints for ministry than equipping couples to help marriages work?
Mm-hmm.
Only one thing's more important, that's evangelization. And yet, if you look at an organizational chart of a typical church, there's no one in charge of marriage. And we need to have people with that responsibility, some working with couples whose marriages had failed, some working with those who are in crisis, some working to prepare.
And what is the curriculum that you follow?
Well, we have a curriculum that includes giving everyone that inventory and spending time over six or seven sessions asking them. Now, you say, for example, I asked this one woman, she said she didn't like the way he had spent money. And I said, well, give me an example of that. She said, well, he bought a $10,000 motorcycle without speaking to me about it. And I turned to the young man. I said, I bet you thought since you earned the money, you could buy the motorcycle. He said, yeah. I said, well, it's not your money anymore. This is couple money. $10,000 is enough to furnish a house. You did the wrong thing. We won't spend $100 on something for our house unless we check it out with my wife or she does with me. I did that one time, and I never lived it down. No. I bought a rug for my office.
Mike, when you say that a certain percentage decide not to even get married, some people would consider that, failure, but that's actually success, isn't it?
It is success because the studies show that those who break an engagement have the same scores as those who marry and later get divorced. So these were all avoided divorces. Those who break an engagement after a rigorous marriage preparation program are avoiding a bad marriage before it's begun. Mm. And we see them come back 2-3 years later with a much better person for them. And, of course, we assign them to a different couple, not the same couple who met with them originally. And they do fine. Mm. Harriet and I have personally mentored 61 couples, and we only know of one couple who's gotten in trouble of those couples.
So it really does make a difference.
It does make a huge difference. And, you know, every pastor would love to see the divorces disappear in his church. We have a way that can do it. Give you one other answer. For example, there's a course called Marriage 911 for the marriage where, let's say, the wife wants a divorce and the husband doesn't. And in 4 out of 5 divorces, one person opposes the divorce. But the law of no-fault divorce renders them powerless to stop it.
Right.
But what we have is a course that he can take with a male friend over 12 weeks that's designed to help him grow so much he attracts his wife back.
Mike, talk about no-fault divorce. I was just getting out of graduate school when it hit. It was 1969. It was in California.
That's right.
Ronald Reagan signed the bill, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
And in fact, I've heard it said that he said that was his biggest mistake.
In public life.
In public life.
He did say that to his son.
Because the incidence of divorce went through the roof when that happened.
It did. In 1969, there were 650,000 divorces, roughly. By 1975, it hit a million, and by 1980, it was 1.2 million. Now we'd already
think
had
of all the children that were affected by that.
Jesus said, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." But America has put asunder about 46 million marriages since 1970, shattering the lives of 44 million kids, and this is inexcusable. This no-fault divorce law allows one person to unilaterally say, I don't think this marriage is working and I want out. And the other person can do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Before no-fault divorce, you'd have to prove a fault. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, he committed adultery. Here's an example of that. Or he physically abused me. Here's evidence that I went to an emergency room to help after he beat me up. But after no-fault divorce, you didn't have to make any charge at all. You could simply say, well, we're not compatible. And the other person could not argue against it. It's a foolish law. But what it does is it destroys marriage unnecessarily. You know that our divorce rate in America is triple that of France or Britain. Triple. 23% of Americans get divorced in 5 years. Only 8% of British or French. Now, they have no-fault divorce, but they do it with a difference. They say, okay, if your wife in Britain doesn't want a divorce and you want one, you're going to have to wait 5 years for the divorce to be culminated. And in France, it's a 6-year wait. You know what happens in 5 or 6 years? A lot of reconciliation. Now, by contrast, 25 states in this country do not require any waiting period or 20 days. There are only 6 states that require a year. 3 states, until recently, required 2 years if it was contested. And those 3 states, which are Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Illinois, have a divorce rate about half that of the 10 worst states with no requirement. So one reform of this is being proposed by the Coalition for Divorce Reform that I helped create. And you can go to divorcereform.us to get information on this online. Mm-hmm. It has drafted legislation there. And the legislation is very creative. It would say, before anyone files for divorce, if you have children, the husband and wife are going to have to take a class on the impact of divorce on kids before you even file. Hmm. 6-hour course online. Well, hopefully that'll dissuade some of them for filing. Mm-hmm. The second thing is it would require a year of separation, a year of waiting, I should say, not separation. You could stay under the same roof. All other states require you to actually move apart. Well, if you move apart, they're going to start dating, see? Mm-hmm. Better that they stay under the same roof. and they have to take some classes in communication and conflict resolution. Those three things, I think, could cut the divorce rate in half.
Mm.
But it's not going to happen unless people decide to ask their state legislators for it. Because if a man gets a divorce he doesn't want, he blames his ex for the divorce. Mm-hmm. He doesn't blame the law. He doesn't know anything about the law. And state legislators aren't being asked by anyone about this.
Mm. Well, let's talk about that, Mike. Let's suppose that you have a chance to talk to a husband and wife who are not getting along.
Right.
And at least one of them, maybe both, are deciding to call it quits.
Right.
What do you say to them? No, you're not a counselor, but what do you say to give them an idea of what the significance of doing that is?
I might ask the man, would you like to live 10 years less? You will if you get divorced. On average, 10 years less, and she will live 4 years less. Is that what you want? Is that the future you want? Do you want your kids to live 5 years less? Mm-hmm. But there are answers. And one answer is a weekend retreat called RetroVi, and I'm going to spell it because it's a French word that it's hard for people to hear. RetroVialle.org. And it runs up from a weekend from Friday night through Sunday. And it's led by couples whose own marriages had nearly failed.
Mm-hmm.
One will always be someone who had adultery. And they talk about how do you restore trust after adultery? What did the man do? What did the woman do to restore trust? Maybe someone went through a bankruptcy that nearly drove them apart, or workaholism. I mean, there are many reasons people get divorced. After hearing a talk—
pornography, which is
pornography,
where we started this discussion.
That's right. Pornography is a major cause of divorce. It really is. It's involved in 50% of divorces, according to therapists I've talked to.
Mm.
What can be done? Well, after they hear a talk, they then write each other a letter for 10 minutes on a subject like, what is it I have difficulty talking to you about, and how does that make me feel? Now, 10 minutes is a long time. You can really say what you want to say on something without being interrupted. You go back to your motel room and exchange notebooks and talk. And that formula repeats itself over the weekend. A number of talks by the leaders who were all married couples who saved a marriage that was on the rocks. And when the weekend begins, everyone's sitting there like this with their arms over their chest as if, I'm wasting my time being here. This isn't going to work. By Sunday afternoon, their arms are all around each other.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar to Marriage Encounter.
It actually grew out of Marriage Encounter,
okay,
Jim.
That mm-hmm. sounds familiar because I experienced that. Being a psychologist, I wanted to know what was going on.
Right.
I'd heard a lot about that. Shirley and I really didn't feel like we had marital problems, and we really didn't. But we went, both mm-hmm. of us. And it was one of the most powerful weekends of my life, and Shirley feels the same way. And you're right. I witnessed that. Shirley and I were sitting at the back of the room, and these people came in. They were all erect, and they were sitting there. And by the last afternoon, they were all over each other.
Yeah.
I mean, the arms were around.
Yeah.
And Shirley whispered to me, look around. And that was going on. There is something about taking the time to express your heart, express
yes.
your love,
and
express
listen.
Your concern, and to listen.
Right.
Well, Mike, there's so many aspects of marriage that we could talk about, and the time has gone by so quickly today. I appreciate you coming and being with us.
Thank you.
A long journey here from Washington, D.C. to be with us in Colorado. And as long as you're here, let's do another program.
Oh, I would love to.
Let's talk next time about your book, Living Together, Myths, Risks, and Answers. And this is largely a book about cohabitation.
It is. And it was written by Harriet and me, you notice. This is the one book which we wrote together.
Mm. And you're still together.
And we're still together. It's 46 years later.
And cohabitation sounds like an easy solution. Here we are, we're in college, and we're not ready to commit to a lifelong relationship, and it'd be fun. Let's just move in together. And it doesn't work.
It fails in 9 out of 10 cases. Either they will break up before there's a wedding, or they will divorce afterwards.
Let's talk about that tomorrow.
Great.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
And we'd actually encourage listeners to think about those people in your lives who could use mm-hmm. that information on cohabiting. Ryan, it's more and more prevalent in culture.
Well, Lewin, it's unfortunately true. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, listeners should go to drjamesdobson.org to look for copies of our guest's book or more information on his ministry, Marriage Savers. That also includes the Prepare and Enrich program we talked about earlier.
That really is a wonderful curriculum. Also at drjamesdobson.org, you can view a video from Dr. Dobson entitled Divorce Equals Disease. These videos are great to share on your Facebook page.
And if you'd like to call us, whether to get a complimentary copy of this program on CD or to donate to the work of helping families, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Or, of course, online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for sharing this part of your day with us. And be sure to return next time as we'll hear more from Mike McManus. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.